Hey guys, Louie DiBiase here of Locked On Eagles. Today's podcast is sponsored by Peloton. Peloton is offering a limited time offer. Get $100 off accessories when you purchase the Peloton bike and get a great cardio workout at home. Go to onepeloton.com and use our promo code LOCKED, L-O-C-K-E-D, to get started. What's going on, everybody? Welcome in. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast. Happy Friday. We are wrapping up the week of shows as we gear up for Sunday's matchup at Lincoln Financial Field at 1 o'clock against the Chicago Bears, the 3-4 reeling Chicago Bears. The Eagles at 4-4 here with a bye week coming up. Then they play the Patriots and the Seahawks before their easy stretch. This is an opportunity for the Eagles to really get back on track. Last week, they kind of saved the season against the Buffalo Bills, and they needed that win just to have a chance, really, for the rest of the season before everything just kind of would seemingly go off the rails, both on the field and off the field. But now with this Bears game, you can really start to gain some ground within a very good NFC conference. If you're 5-4 heading into the bye week, considering where you were just 2 weeks ago with those back-to-back blowout losses, with the five really easy games you have after the Patriots and Seahawks back-to-back, you're in a really good position. So this is a huge opportunity for the Eagles to go up against a team that is struggling, much like they have over the month of October at home. They're finally at home, right? They haven't been at Lincoln Financial Field, it seems like, in years. It was the blowout win against the New York Jets earlier this month. So at home against a team that is not doing well right now, that has a strong roster that the Eagles are very familiar with, as they beat them in the double doink game in the wild card round last year. So the Eagles head into it at 5-point favorites. And today what we're going to get into is more so the offensive focus, specifically Carson Wentz. Every so often on a Thursday, I like to get deeper into Carson Wentz and the quarterback position, just because I think, once again, he's so important to the organization. And, you know, he's the future now with that contract. They're going to go as far as Carson Wentz takes them for the next maybe decade or so. So today I have some different talking points about Carson Wentz going up against yet another really good defense. I feel like the Eagles have played just some awesome defenses this year, like for eight weeks now straight. And Wentz has actually done pretty well against them. So I'm going to get into Carson Wentz, what he can do against Khalil Mack and that Bears defense to get a win on Sunday. But before we get into that, I don't know if it's just the journalist in me that likes to connect these matchups to past ones, right? I'm a very nostalgic sports fan for sure. So I don't know. Anytime I see something similar to, like, oh, that play reminded me of Michael Vick when he did this in 2010, right? Or, oh, this game ended very similarly to, you know, like last year against the Bears, honestly. I wrote an entire article comparing that final stretch, that fourth quarter, to past Eagles moments, right? The Nick Foles touchdown at the goal line to Golden Tate reminded me very much like the play call that Andy Reid dialed up for a rookie Nick Foles to Jeremy Maclin in 2012 to get that first win after like 8 weeks. And that was that was Nick Foles' first ever win in the NFL, and how the Bears moved down the field right after and had a field goal to win the game. And it reminded me so much of that 2013 playoff game against the Saints, where there's nothing you can do but just watch as the kicker really decides your fate. Only this time it ended in the Eagles' benefit as they moved on to the second round. So that's my mindset right now for this segment here, is kind of thinking back to that playoff game and going through this 2017 and 2018 gauntlet that they had to get through to make the playoffs, to win the Super Bowl, then to get back to the playoffs last year. And this 2019 season so far, for the first 8 games, you've been seeing a lot of those familiar teams. So I've been kind of thinking back to those moments. You know, they played the Atlanta Falcons, the Minnesota Vikings, they play the Chicago Bears this week. Then they have a rematch of Super Bowl 52 against the New England Patriots. And I'm kind of surprised, actually, that I'm the only one that's picked up on this. I don't know if it's just not important enough of a talking point, and it really isn't for the players or for the media or for actually, like, in context, any real influence of these the outcomes of these games. But again, the journalist in me can't help but tie them together. I'm surprised specifically the Nick Foles stands have not picked up on the talking point that Carson Wentz has not beaten the Foles playoff defeats yet. You know what I mean? Like, Nick Foles took down the Atlanta Falcons in the second round of the 2017 playoffs. Then he beat the Minnesota Vikings in the NFC Championship game. He's playing the Chicago Bears, Carson Wentz is, this Sunday, another team that Nick Foles beat in the playoffs. And while it's not fair to put the blame on Carson Wentz if they lose this game, much like I don't think it was to put the blame on him against Atlanta or against Minnesota, I'm surprised nobody really has, and I'm surprised I haven't seen the take yet, and maybe we'll get that against Chicago or probably New England if they lose to the Patriots, of, you know, the saying, oh, well, Nick Foles took them down. How come Carson Wentz hasn't been able to? This team maybe just plays better against these great teams with Nick Foles. But that really hasn't been the case. I'm kind of proud of you, Nick Foles guys out there, for sure. But it definitely is something that I find interesting, that Carson Wentz does have an opportunity this year to play a lot of the teams that he didn't get the opportunity to play in 2017 and 2018 because he got hurt down the stretch and missed both playoff runs. So I find that interesting, and I look forward to seeing if he can take down this Chicago Bears defense that, look, Chicago's reeling for sure. This could go one or two ways. I think people forget the offense, the Eagles offense really did struggle in that playoff game. And of course they did come through on the game-winning drive, but that Bears defense was the best in the league all year. They were atop almost every statistical category, and they showed that in the wild card round. But at the same time, like, if we saw a 2017 outcome where the Eagles just blow out the Bears at the link, I wouldn't be surprised about that really either. Chicago is really struggling right now, specifically, of course, the offense. But this defense, there are holes. They can be had. And I look, the Eagles have stepped up against number one ranked defenses over the past couple years with Doug Peterson's play calling, with strong quarterback play, and with the offensive line taking over. In two playoff games in the last 2 years, they have beaten the number one ranked defense, Minnesota in 2017 and Chicago in 2018. So it's going to be a really interesting matchup. It's a big game for both teams. I feel like Chicago cannot, much like the Eagles couldn't lose to the Bills last week, I feel like the Bears can't lose this against Philadelphia or else their season's over, especially in the NFC North, which is just loaded right now. And for the Eagles, you know, 4-5, how much better is 4-5 than 3-4? You're kind of still in the same spot you were 2 weeks ago. So they need to grab this momentum that they have from the Buffalo game, and they need to move forward and start compiling wins. Put on a win streak here of more than two games, damn it. You know, put on a run. I'm not going to ask you for 2017 where you win 8-9 games straight, but you got to build off that Buffalo win and start compiling wins, because this, again, the conference is really good, and you're already a leg behind Dallas as you lost the first head-to-head. You get another opportunity, but Dallas has some easy matchups coming up too, and you're already behind them by a half a game. So this is a big game for the Eagles and for the Bears, and we're going to get into the matchup. I want to focus more so on the Eagles' offense today, and specifically Carson Wentz. So that's coming up next. We're going to take one break right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Guys, today's podcast is sponsored by MyBookie. MyBookie is the premier place to bet on all your favorite pro and college action every weekend. They always have the most up-to-date lines and the most prop bets of any sportsbook on the planet. So, if you're going to bet this season, and I just did on the Arizona Cardinals on Thursday night, and boom, it paid off. So go Kyler Murray. Do the smart thing. Bet with MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy who likes to bet a little to win a lot, you can try a parlay. Pick your locks of the week, put them together in one parlay bet, and when they all come through, the rewards will be huge. Tired of watching the games from the couch with nothing to gain? MyBookie wants to get your mind off everything else and back on the game. The best part is, if you're going to join right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. That's right, if you put in $1,000, they're going to give you $1,000 back. That's double your initial deposit. You can use all on your favorite picks. Use our promo code. We got a special one for you today. You can probably guess it. It's Locked On, LOCKEDON, to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code Locked On to double your cash. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, and you get paid. We're going to talk some Carson Wentz coming up next. This is Locked On Eagles. All right, everybody, welcome back. This is Louis DiBiase joining you on this Friday edition of Locked On Eagles. It's time to talk some quarterback, number 11 himself, Carson Wentz. He is going up against, with this offense, a very good Bears defense that's held opposing teams under 20 points five times this year. They were the number one ranked defense last year in the regular season of the NFL. The Eagles got the best of them in the playoff game, but Carson Wentz did not get to play them. So, you know, the last time Wentz played Chicago in 2017, he had a lot of success, and also in 2016, his rookie year, but those defenses were not the same. You know, Leonard Floyd wasn't at the level on the edge. They didn't have Khalil Mack, Eddie Jackson, you know, Kyle Fuller wasn't as good as he is now. Just overall, and of course, Vic Fangio, that defense got better every year, and now under Chuck Pagano, it's still, I mean, it really hasn't skipped a beat without Fangio. Of course, he was a big part of their success, but just overall, the personnel on that unit is just really, really good. And once again, like, you know, you think about it, the Eagles have played some really good defenses. The offense has had to deal with their own liabilities and their own shortcomings, right, with the drops. They lead the league in drops right now. The turnovers, the slow starts, you know, these crucial penalties that kill drives. But at the same time, and of course, too, DeSean Jackson's been injured. Jason Peters coming out of the lineup now the last 2 weeks. So they've had all these injuries, Darren Sproles as well. But also, too, it just hasn't been easy, and it's kind of impressive. They've still been pretty efficient as a whole throughout the season. You know, they're averaging, you know, they've put up 30-plus points a ton this year. Like, there hasn't been a lot of games where, in fact, they've only had one game this year where they've scored under 20 points, and they've had at least 30 on three separate occasions. And that's despite playing, you know, let's just look at Washington's not a great defense. They have some talent. You know, Atlanta, kind of the same thing. They've been a disaster this year. A lot of it has to do with injuries and just, you know, when kind of crap hits the fan, it just stockpiles. But after that, they went Detroit, which is a good defense. Green Bay, I love their defense personnel-wise. The Jets have a very respectable defense. Minnesota, Dallas, Buffalo. I mean, you look at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that the six games there, a six-game stretch, the Eagles have had to play some unbelievable defenses. And it doesn't get easier for Wentz in this offense. They got to play Chicago now, then they get a bye week, and then they play New England, which has been the best defense in football. And then Seattle is this rejuvenated defense too, bringing in Jadeveon Clowney. I mean, all these young pieces. Bobby Wagner still there. Jerron Reed. Ziggy Ansah. So the Eagles, you know, they're really going to have to make, they're going to have to earn their money. Carson Wentz is going to have to earn his money. Doug Peterson and this offensive personnel. But overall, Carson Wentz has been really good against these defenses. Honestly, I think some of his best performances this year have come against the best of the best. I mean, you look at that Green Bay game at Lambeau Field. Sure, he only threw for 160 yards and completed 59% of his throws, but I think Carson Wentz, that was one of the best games I've seen of Carson Wentz's career. He was awesome on third downs. He was lethal in the red zone. He had three red zone passing touchdowns. That was against, to me, one of the best secondaries in football, and a red hot front four with the Smith brothers, Preston Smith and Zadarius Smith. I was forgetting his name there on the edge for Green Bay, right? And then, you know, against Minnesota, while that was a blowout loss for Philadelphia, Wentz got them back in that football game. He had 306 yards, two touchdowns, a 65% completion percentage. Against Dallas, he struggled. But then last week against Buffalo, very similar to Green Bay, if you box score scout, you're going to think Wentz had a very average, you know, Sam Bradford type check down game with 172 yards and just one touchdown. But overall, he was making things happen outside of the pocket. He was lethally accurate considering how good that Bills defense is, one of the best in football. To me, probably the second best secondary behind New England. And he completed 70% of his throws. The winds, I was at that game, were like 25 miles an hour. So Wentz this year has really stepped up against great defenses. And also on the road, too, he's been able to do that. He gets the luxury of finally being at home at Lincoln Financial Field this week. But I think you're really going to start to see this offense look complete, even against these tougher units, because DeSean Jackson practiced once again on Thursday, and he is expected to play. First time he's actually played a full game, hopefully, knock on wood, since week one. He has not appeared in a game since that week two Sunday night football game against the Atlanta Falcons with that abdomen strain. So Wentz finally gets that field stretcher he wants. You know, he has the seventh highest big time throw percentage. At the same time, he's had the most big time throws dropped, according to Pro Football Focus. He's atop the NFL in aggressive percentage, according to Next Gen Stats. And it's not, you know, Carson Wentz isn't Josh Allen or Jameis Winston, where it's erratic throws down the field. He is very efficient, especially when you give him one of the best deep threats ever in DeSean Jackson. You saw the efficiency week one. I mean, the improbable completion, that throw to DeSean Jackson, the first one, he had like a 15% chance of completing that ball, according to Next Gen Stats, and he did it. You know, he is efficient down the field when his playmakers are actually making plays for him and they're not dropping all of these throws. I think the Eagles have five 25-plus yard throws down the field that have been dropped. So overall, I think DeSean Jackson coming back is going to help Wentz. The play calling is going to be easier too, and it's certainly going to open things up for Zach Ertz specifically, but also Alshon Jeffrey, also Nelson Aguilar. But Zach Ertz has been getting bracket coverage every single week since DeSean Jackson's been out. He has not been the same player because since Nelson Aguilar has regressed, Alshon Jeffrey was dealing with injuries earlier in the year. Matt Collins is useless. Jay Jaw can't get on the field, and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, if you didn't know, that's what we call him, is Jay Jaw, or at least some of us. He's got a lot of different nicknames, but he really doesn't deserve a nickname right now. And Zach Ertz has not really been able to thrive because all of these factors, and Carson Wentz has suffered because of it as well. I'll tell you what, getting into receiver, I wrote about it on 97.3ESPN.com this week. They need to get more out of Aguilar, out of Arcega-Whiteside. Like, they've needed them. They've needed to get that out of these players since DeSean Jackson's been out, especially Aguilar, because he's really their only source of speed on the outside. The only source of speed they've had, the only source of explosive plays they've had on offense has been running back Miles Sanders. Despite Jackson being out, Aguilar has not stepped up to the plate. Neither is Arcega-Whiteside for being a second-round pick. And they're going to need, look, they're going to need them anyway this year. I know DeSean's coming back this week, but you never know if Jackson's going to be in and out of the lineup. Remember, that injury, an abdomen strain, I don't know if it's a sports hernia. I'm not a doctor. Don't quote me on it. But it's an injury that it needs surgery before it can ever get to 100%. It's all about pain tolerance if you don't get surgery. You can play through it, but you're going to be playing injured throughout the entire year. So you never know. Even if Jackson plays the rest of the year, he's going to be at like 65 to 75% of what he is. And although he looked good at practice this week, you never know when he's going to come out of the lineup. So you need Aguilar and you need Arcega-Whiteside to be able to make plays for this offense, and especially Aguilar. But Jay Jaw too, like Matt Collins, it's unbelievable that he has played over 140 snaps where he hasn't had a reception. It has been like 140 snaps for Matt Collins, which is a significant amount. As a starting third wide receiver, he has not had a reception in those snaps. That is unbelievably terrible. Put me out there and I'll catch at least one 4-yard crosser. I mean, that's the thing. Carson Wentz, he's been impressive to me this year without the circumstances around him being very ideal. So getting DeSean Jackson back this week is going to be huge, but you need Aguilar to at least get back to that Atlanta production or that Detroit production, because since those two games where, yes, he was making crucial mistakes, but he was still putting up yardage and he was getting in the end zone, he has been useless since then, especially down the field. Regardless of all of that, Wentz is still top five in QBR this year. He's top five in passer rating. He's Pro Football Focus's third highest graded quarterback. He's on pace for 28 touchdowns and just 8 interceptions. I mean, Carson Wentz, I don't know what more you can ask from the guy. And I'm excited to see what he can do against Chicago. It's a great test, but he finally is going to have the offensive core that we said was probably the best in football at his disposal for the first time since that Washington game. Because even a guy that I'm not a big fan of for this offense and Darren Sproles could be back. He practiced on a limited basis on both Wednesday and Thursday. So really exciting for Carson Wentz to have this opportunity against the Chicago Bears. And they're going to certainly need him. Even if it's a low-scoring game, it's going to come down to, much like it did in the playoffs last year, if that is the case, Nick Foles, he struggled throughout that game. Remember, he was not a barn burner. It was not an elite performance, a vintage Nick Foles performance against the Chicago Bears. But he did pull out that one fourth quarter drive that he needed them to have. So Carson Wentz is going to have to at least get that for a win on Sunday against the Chicago Bears. We're going to take one more break here on the Locked On Eagles podcast, and we'll continue wrapping up this Friday edition of the show. Coming up next, Louis DiBiase joining you. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. All right, Eagles fans across the globe, thanks for tuning in. Louis DiBiase here on Locked On Eagles. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast. We got 4 to 6 shows a week download it into your phone. It doesn't matter if it's the regular season. It doesn't matter if it's the off season. We are going into your phone on any podcast provider. Just tell Siri or Alexa to play Locked On Eagles. We are in your phone 4 to 6 days a week, and you can also find us on LockedOnEagles.com. I have a question that I want you guys to answer, and you can hit me up on Twitter later on after you listen to the show, at DiBiaseLOE. Should the Eagles continue to be a run-centric team? Because they really have been that, I would say, since the Green Bay game, right? I think once Doug Peterson saw that blueprint of how the offensive line and Jordan Howard and Miles Sanders just ran all over that Green Bay defense, which again was a really good defense. And that was the key to winning that football game, was the run game and was the stout play of the offensive line. Since Doug Peterson saw that and has seen DeSean Jackson go down and has seen the regression of Nelson Agholor and the unusefulness of J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and Matt Collins, he has gone to a run-centric guy, and normally that's not the case, right? Remember in 2017 after the Chiefs game, there were the signs that said, run the ball, Doug, and he comes from the Andy Reid coaching tree, and we all know as Eagles fans watching Andy Reid that coaches like that love to throw the football around. And while I still think that is the blueprint, that is the foundation, that's the philosophy of Doug Peterson, right now he has adjusted to where the Eagles are running through the offensive line on offense, and they're running through Jordan Howard specifically. So, and look, they're certainly better when the offensive line is dominating on the ground. Like I said on the show this week, especially when they're leading football games, this team is never more comfortable than when they have a lead and they can just say, Jason Kelce, Brandon Brooks, Lane Johnson, Isaac Seumalo, and Jason Peters / Andre Dillard, go take this game over. Go close this one out. Go burn 8 minutes like they did in the fourth quarter last week against the Buffalo Bills. So that's a huge advantage, having that optionality. And especially against a Bears defense, I think this week that should still be the blueprint. Latavius Murray ran all over this team a couple weeks ago. So did rookie Josh Jacobs from the Oakland Raiders. That's what I think you're still going to do. You know, you want that optionality. You didn't have that last year. When Foles was struggling in the playoffs against Chicago, against this team, when Foles was struggling in the playoffs against the New Orleans Saints, they didn't have a guy to turn around and say, hey, we need you to bail us out right now. We need you to start averaging 5-6 yards a carry. They turned around, and it was Wendell Smallwood there and Josh Adams. And if it was me, I'd go, ah, no, okay, I'm not giving him the ball. All right, let's keep throwing the football, right? Whereas now you say, hell yeah, I have Jordan Howard and Miles Sanders to get more meat off the bone that is this offensive line, this elite offensive line when it comes to running the football. And having that optionality is huge. It's going to be big against the Bears defense. I think the plan heading into this one, especially against Khalil Mack, you're going to want Dallas Goedert on that side helping out Andre Dillard. I think a lot of misdirections, screens, play-action rollouts to the right. Get Mack out of the play, freeze him, you know, double him. JP held him in check last year in the playoffs for sure. I would love to see a lot of 21 personnel too when it comes to Sanders and Howard out there at the same time. They had a 65-yard touchdown run off of a 21 personnel play where Howard was the lead block, took out linebacker Matt Milano, and Sanders was off to the races. And I think with that too, what 21 personnel gives you is a lot more optionality with not only the run game, because you can do, you know, you have both guys on each side. You don't know who's coming. One's thunder, one's lightning, but you can do a lot of different stuff with RPOs, with Sanders. You know, you can do a handoff, a read here with Jordan Howard while Sanders is running a wheel route. You can do, Peterson liked to do last week, a lot of misdirections, a lot of a fake screen on one side, fake screen to Jordan Howard on the right side, and then a real screen to Dallas Goedert on the other. So he could do that with Miles Sanders. I could even see like it happening a triple screen, which they actually did to the Bears, and it worked with Dallas Goedert in the playoffs last year. They faked the screen to the left, faked the screen to the right, and then back inside to Dallas Goedert on the left side. I could see them doing that with the tight ends and with the running backs this week. So running back will probably be the focus once again. I think running back, offensive line, the blueprint to beat the Bills and the Packers, I think you're going to want to try that again against Chicago for sure. But at the same time, with DeSean Jackson coming back, and overall, just philosophically, you still are going to want to run through the pass. You know, pun there, I guess you can say. You're going to want to run through the pass. Big picture, like your offense should be built around throwing the football in 2019. It's not like the Eagles don't have the weapons to do that. They don't have the quarterback to do that, or they don't have the head coach to do that, the play caller. I mean, they won a Super Bowl, if you ask me, because of passing the football, right? They out-dueled Tom Brady in the Super Bowl when he threw for 500 yards. So that is still the blueprint overall for the Eagles' offense. But at the same time, having that optionality where you can be a team that says, screw it, we're only going to have Carson Wentz throw the football 20 times or 15 to 20 times this week, and we're still going to win by running for 218 yards like they did last week, they can do that. At the same time, though, you can't keep having the run-only drives, especially on like these first down and 10s, the second down and 9s, where you're running the football on second down and 9 up the A-gap with Jordan Howard. That drives me nuts. The analytics say that doesn't work a lot of the time. Just common sense, the eye test, you know, you'll love the back and forth between eye test versus analytics. I think both agree that running the football on like second down and 9 and then on third and 5 sometimes too, he'll run the football. I mean, against Dallas, he ran a play to Miles Sanders up the middle, and while he could have had that first down, dialing up a run play when you have Carson Wentz as your quarterback on third and 4 with how good he's played on third down this year, to me, that's ludicrous. So I want to be able to run the football for sure, but at the same time, you can't have it the way it's been the majority of this year from a play-calling perspective and expect to beat the best teams in the NFL. I think some people honestly don't think Carson Wentz can throw the football 25-plus times and win a football game, or he can't throw the team back into the win. And I think stats people show are kind of misinforming because his passing attempts and wins normally have been low because, I mean, when you get a lead, you're going to run for the majority of the time in the second half, especially when you have the Eagles' offensive line. As most teams do, by the way, when they're winning, they run the football more. It's just common sense. It's also hard to do it. It's also hard to throw 25-plus times and carry a team back into it all the way, right? There's been a lot of games where Wentz has thrown them back into the game, but they haven't been able to finish the job because a lot of the time his receivers aren't catching the football, or there's a stupid penalty or a key turnover after driving 8 plays and, you know, 60 yards down the field. Nelson Agholor fumbles the football or Dallas Goedert fumbles the football. So it's also difficult to do that when you have all these mistakes. But do I think he's only effective when leading and throwing for under 200 yards? Absolutely not. Look, again, he threw them back into that game against Washington. Yes, the offensive line and the run game took over in the second half, but if it wasn't for that huge bomb to DeSean Jackson in the first half, they were down 17-0 at that point. That game could have got out of hand real quick. And then that other big touchdown to DeSean Jackson. Those two plays broke the spirit of the Washington Redskins. Against Atlanta, he threw them back into that football game in the second half and took the lead with only a couple minutes left in the fourth quarter, and then put the ball on the money to Nelson Agholor for what would have been a game-winning passing touchdown, but Nelson Agholor dropped the football. Against Detroit, same thing, a game-winning touchdown to J.J. Arcega-Whiteside that he dropped. Carson Wentz threw them back into that football game. Even Minnesota, again, 3 weeks ago, that game, people are trying to get that out of their memory really quick because it kind of started what was a disastrous, dramatic 2 weeks for the Philadelphia Eagles. But honestly, I thought that game for Carson Wentz was one of his best that I have seen. That game, honestly, reminded me more of the 2017 Wentz, the guy that threw for 4 touchdowns on Monday Night Football and destroyed the Washington Redskins. He looked more like that player against Minnesota, and I don't know if anybody agrees with me. I feel like I'm in the minority there, but you know, you look at his numbers in that game, 306 yards and 2 touchdowns, completing 65% of your passes against that defense, when attempting 40 throws, I mean, I don't know what more you want from Carson Wentz. He got you back into those football games. Yes, you lost against Atlanta, you lost against Detroit, and you lost against Minnesota, but it wasn't because of Carson Wentz. The only reason those games were pretty much games was because of Wentz. By the way, he also continued to take the lead over and over again against Green Bay with those throwing touchdowns, those 3 throwing touchdowns, when they were down by 10 in the first half. Wentz was huge in getting them back in that ballgame. So I don't think it's in, you know, he did it last year against Dallas twice. He did it in London against Jacksonville, against the Rams in 2017, against Carolina he threw a lot, against Seattle. Even when they lost the football games, you have to look into it and say, did Carson Wentz do enough to win that game by throwing 25-plus times? Yes, he did. So I think that theory should be debunked. I don't think it's a fair criticism of Carson Wentz really at all. And you got to look back to 2017, guys, and that the first 8 weeks before they traded for Jay Ajayi, they weren't really running the football all that well, and he was still dominating. So they were going on that streak. They started up that run through the passing game. So Carson Wentz, you can win because of Carson Wentz. He is, again, he's not Josh Allen or Jameis Winston, where the minute they're down, he's going to start forcing crazy balls into quadruple coverage, and he's going to start throwing these mind-numbing interceptions. For me, that's just, it's not a fair criticism. Sure, if they're down by 20, like they were in the fourth quarter against Minnesota or against Dallas, is he going to start chucking some stuff up and playing street ball? Yeah, absolutely. But when they're down 7 or 14, how many times in the past 2-3 years have we seen the Eagles trailing by 10 in the first half and Carson Wentz throws them back into that football game? Once again, he is not a mistake-prone quarterback. He has the fourth highest touchdown-to-interception ratio since 2017. It's the same thing about the whole the anonymous source saying the quote about him checking down. He's not checking down enough, which, by the way, he did a very good job of checking down and knowing when to give up on a play last week against Buffalo once again. But, you know, whatever. Well, that was for last week and the last 2 weeks of podcasts. It was kind of the same insinuation with that comment, is like, you don't want Wentz throwing the ball down the field as if he's some, if he's Mitchell Trubisky, right? He's not 30th of 35 quarterbacks when it comes to deep ball accuracy. That's Mitchell Trubisky. If I'm Chicago, I'm trying to win because of my running backs, right? Because of David Montgomery and Tariq Cohen. Not the case with Carson Wentz at all. So I don't know. And I think it's unfair to use 2016 and 2018 because the dude had a broken back and he was throwing to Dorial Green-Beckham and Josh Huff. All right, that's going to do it for the quarterback talk on this Friday edition of Locked On Eagles. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's edition of the shows. Let's hope we can get to 5-4 here on Sunday. That's a big game. That's a huge confidence booster. Then you get a whole week to rest. You get a whole week to watch film on this juggernaut that is the New England Patriots. And let's see if we can stir up some of that magic from February of 2018. I'm Lou DiBiase signing off. As always, thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. And let's go, Birds.